This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Before we get started, actually, could I ask you something?
What?
Would you mind removing me from your close friends' Instagram stories? It's just I don't agree with you having all those picnics that you're doing and doing Chinese finger traps with the ladies during this, having ladies kiss night twice a week. It's just I don't agree with. I'm happy you're having fun, but I just don't agree with it. So if you could remove me kindly from your close friends' Instagram.
Are you done?
Yes.
What is up, my friends? Welcome to Punch Up the Jam.
What's good?
This is going to be the episode today. This is the kind of energy we're bringing to the stud, by which I mean our separate apartments across the country from each other. Chris Fleming, thanks for coming back on the pod.
Thanks for doing the mellow pact with me.
This is the podcast where I'm Yael Brado, trying to make the greatest hits even greater. And joined by me, nope, that's not correct. Joined, nope, one more time. I am joined by...
Are you cross-eyed right now saying this? Are you smashing plates on your head?
And periodically, I'm like, I'm going to rebrand as chill. And then I get one sentence in and I can't speak because my brain starts scrambling like just eggs. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming back, Chris. I'm excited you're here again. Please never leave. Thank you so much.
I don't remember a time before I did this.
This is like the self-isolation vortex for you. It's just this podcast.
This and Crest White Strips. Did I tell you I'm doing Crest White Strips? I'm going to look like Wayne Newton after this. They're going to let me in the black cat, finally.
The problem with Crest White Strips is that they make it so that air hurts your teeth.
Yeah, you can't boat. You can't speedboat nearly as fast as you could former to doing them, which sucks. But everything else is way better in life.
So, okay, today, because again, you're here, I get to do songs that the audience wants. And I saw that a bunch of people wanted Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. Yeah. I once tweeted about the goo. What's that?
That was me shaving my head.
I once tweeted about the Goo Goo Dolls as a band name that like only could have worked in the 90s, and I'm still a little upset about it. Like, did we ever think to give them grief for that? Or is the 90s just you could get away with like butthole surfers and the Goo Goo Dolls?
Yeah, it was pre 9/11. You could do whatever. Yeah, it was different. It was just different times. Our biggest issues were rabies and shark attacks.
I actually do have a history with this song, specifically with the album it first appeared on, which is, of course, the City of Angels soundtrack.
Oh, is that so?
Oh my God, did you not have that soundtrack?
No.
Oh my God, there were so many good songs on it, but the three hits from it.
I don't think I had many soundtracks as CDs.
Oh, this was one, like this and the Rush Hour soundtrack, both I think from 98, did not deserve to go as hard as they did. The three hits from the City of Angels soundtrack, get this, you're going to love it.
Wasn't the Rush Hour soundtrack just like Chris Tucker running into stuff and then moaning? Wasn't that most of the soundtrack? It's like him kind of in agony.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I cut you off. Go.
Sarah McLachlan's Angel and Alanis Morissette's Uninvited, both also on the soundtrack.
Jesus, wait, were they written for that?
No, I believe, and I could be wrong because there are some like Bono songs and shit too, but I think the Goo Goo Dolls one is the only one written for it. And you can tell obviously in the lyrics, because I don't know if you guys all saw the classic Nicolas Cage, Meg Ryan venture, but... The premise is that Nicolas Cage is an angel who's willing to sacrifice his immortality to stay in Los Angeles with Meg Ryan, a human woman.
So he can take IO classes.
The song is called Iris.
Yeah, it's like that other song this is the second song that we've done that does not have any mention of the actual lyric.
Yeah, there are three hits immediately that come to mind that had just completely arbitrary titles from the 90s. It's Harvey Danger's Flagpole Sitta, Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls, and What's Up by Four Non Blondes. None of those titles have anything to do with the songs.
Yeah.
And in this case, I thought maybe it would be like some movie tie-in or something, but here's what the frontman John Resnick has to say. I'm horrible at naming songs. So it's the last thing I do. I was looking through a magazine called LA Weekly, brother, okay, and saw that a great singer-songwriter called Iris Dement was playing in town. And I was like, wow, what a beautiful name.
Wait, that's it?
Uh-huh. That's why this song's called Iris.
See, that's
so good.
He
was looking at LA Weekly and he was like, yeah, that's a cool name. That's what I'll name this song written for a movie.
Yeah, there's such like a, it's kind of like a jockey honesty to like, to their vibe. Like I watched, there's like a live clip of them doing this song that I somehow YouTube threw at me years ago. And it's, have you seen it? Have you seen it?
No.
It's like,
what is it?
I love it because it's like during, it's definitely during like a tropical storm that they're performing it. And like the entire rest of the band, like he's doing like the whole like, plug my guitar in, you know, kind of thing, like being a hero. And the rest of the band is like in tires getting swept away. It's like that, it's like that movie with the, when the crocodiles get in the house. That came out recently.
Jumanji?
No. Remember that movie that came out? Like
Jumanji 2, Back in the Saddle?
Yes. Whatever. Anyway, he's performing and he's soaked. His bangs are like down to his chin. And you're right when you're like, I wonder when this was happening. He yells, this is the best 4th of July ever. It's really good stuff. You got to look it up. Also, this and the World I Know by Collective Soul, for some reason, I can't distinguish between the two of them, but I love them both equally.
Like, oh, I'm glad you referenced not being able to distinguish between two songs written for movies in 1998, because I was going through the song today and it really struck me. It feels like I Don't Want to Miss a Thing ripped this exactly. So I was so curious when that came out. Get this. Iris comes out in April 98. Don't Want to Miss a Thing comes out in August 98. I really feel like they heard like a rock band doing like a big string arrangement and like this big like ballad type song. And they're like, oh, we should get Aerosmith to do that. And I feel really bad for the Goo Goo Dolls. I don't think they deserve
it. Both of those songs that you just mentioned completely revolutionized slow dancing in middle school. They're the perfect songs to slow dance to, with Lauren, Courtney, Elise.
I'm going to have to bleep all those names, Chris.
No, you're not.
I'm not doxing girls you went to middle school with.
I'm cool with these gals.
Have you also, just really quick, have you seen the music video for Iris?
No, let me watch it.
He goes full tilt Jack Skellington. He just angsts around a tower in like an office, like a wheelie chair, like an office chair. And they're so hard up for B-roll to make this video look artsy that at one point they just throw to a tight shot of the wheel on the chair moving on the floor.
His hair is very,
oh, his
very
hair was so hot. I feel so bad that the lady from John and Kate Plus 8 ripped it off so hard. He really invented that style, I feel like.
It's brutal. It's a brutal, it's very, very like a guy you meet on the plane who claims to have managed Garth Brooks at one point. Oh, yeah, this is good stuff. This is really good stuff, this music
video. It's literally just him whipping around on a wheelie chair in a tower with several telescopes. That's the entire music video.
While the rest of the town waits for him to figure out what the meaning of Christmas.
Okay, so as is the case, again, with so many songs on this podcast, he wrote it in a couple hours. Apparently, he wrote it the same day that he saw the movie, and I found the best excerpt from some like interview with him. Here's what it said. Resnick hadn't particularly enjoyed the movie, but had his reasons for agreeing to contribute to the soundtrack. and then the quote from John Resnick says, I didn't actually think it was very good, he explains. I just thought it was a sanitized version of Wim Wenders' 1987 film, Wings of Desire. But one of the reasons
is he just doing alliteration? Is he just trying to fit as many W's into that?
But one of the reasons I wanted to do a song was because the soundtrack had U2 and Peter Gabriel on it, and I wanted to be on the same piece of plastic as them.
Wait, he's really good at sounding like the anti-artist's artist in everything he says.
No, he has another quote in this article about like how he realized while they were tracking it that they had like really changed as a band, because I guess they started as kind of more of a punk outfit and now they were doing like string arrangements.
I don't know what a guitar is, but somebody gave it to me. So.
He was like, yeah, you know, a lot of people have weird feelings about it, but I could put my kids through college now.
Yeah, that's great.
I kind of respect it, honestly.
It's like a filthy pleasure of mine. Like, I try to act like I'm not into this kind of thing, but I'm into
it. That's what I wanted to say. I had the soundtrack, and I was like, what, 9? And I would blast this shit on my in-room boombox and then just lay on my little bunk bed and like stare at the top bunk because for some reason I slept on the bottom bunk. Whatever, I'm a sociopath.
You were a prisoner in your own room.
Absolutely, yeah. Go the fuck off to Iris. And to this day, I'm going to have a really hard time not screaming the entire time we're listening to it. It's so bad. It's great.
I listen to it all the time. Like when I'm, you know, if no one's around, like if I were completely abandoned, I would absolutely go to town on it, you know?
Okay. The last thing I want to say is that patron Olivia Diaz told me a story I really enjoyed. They said my best friend
was... Is that the patron you had over?
My best friend was the best man at his friend's wedding, which was held in a church gym. Already I have a lot of questions, but we're going to keep going. And against both entire family's wishes, as they were like 19.
Do you have a problem with priests working out?
The song the wedding party walked down the quote unquote aisle to was Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. But there was a disproportionate number of bridesmaids to groomsmen, so my friend had to walk back up the aisle repeatedly to accompany single bridesmaids down the aisle.
The shepherd.
While the song blasted through a shitty boombox on repeat about 3.5 times total.
Yeah, I like
just
that.
Just imagine hearing that guitar solo.
I love that. That's the best part. It's the best.
I'm glad you like it because it's fucking half the song. Are you ready to get into it?
Yeah, I'm ready to get into it.
I feel like that's the most acoustic-ass acoustic guitar I've ever heard.
Right. It's really more wind chimes than anything.
Give up forever to touch you, 'cause I know that you feel me somehow.
How many guitars are? I think there's like thousands of
45 guitars.
It's like 45 guitars. I think it's an entire guitar. I think they just recorded it in a guitar center with this ambient mics and everything. They're like, yeah, whatever we could get, we got it.
Hands up. It's like that scene at the Black Gate with Aragorn, except they're just going to try to strum at the same time.
I don't know Aragorn, Miel. You gotta text me if you're gonna talk about Aragorn.
I'm sorry. I just assume everyone has like a constant entire knowledge of Lord of the Rings lore. It hinders me socially. I apologize.
Wait.
Probably like a more like obvious reference point would have been the Brave Men. Brave Men.
The Braveman.
Braveheart speech to all those brave, brave men.
You know they almost called Braveheart Braveman.
I think week 9 is where I lose it completely.
Braveman.
I think there might be like a slight Nickel Creek energy. I think Chris Thiele plays on this song. I think there's a mandolin in there too.
He was just noodling around in a mandolin in the Guitar Center and the Goo Goo Dolls were like chasing him with a mic in there. And he was like, that's the whole vibe. It seems like the orchestra like it versus the Goo Goo Dolls. Like the orchestra you could tell did not sign up for this.
If we're trying to be time appropriate, that would have been a really good celebrity death match.
Oh my God. I haven't thought about celebrity death match.
Versus Goo Goo Dolls.
Oh, I thought you meant Chris Thiele versus an entire Guitar Center versus the staff at Guitar Center. That would be great.
And then to have like such a sensitive opening and then to just come in with lyrics as insane as, and I'd give up forever to touch you. 'Cause I know that you feel me somehow. Like in the context of the film, it's pretty direct and no metaphor. I understand what you're saying. But like when this gets released as a single and does a record breaking amount of time on the Billboard charts, or I guess actually the Airplay charts, because the Billboard rules didn't allow it to at the time, whatever. That's not the point. The point is, as a song independent of the movie, what the fuck are we supposed to think he's talking about?
Well, also the City of Angels soundtrack, if it is how you described, must be a real jambalaya of voices if it's got Alanis Morissette, like if it's all these different lyrical songs like thrown into a soundtrack, that must be a kind of confusing tonally. Like that's a lot of very, very different ideas.
And I mean, have you seen City of Angels? Because I think it's in keeping with the film.
I think I watched it on a Greyhound bus once, but I don't remember it.
You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't want to go home.
Who told him he had to go home?
That's his
chaperone.
Where did
the concept of going home come from?
That's him waving off his parole, his PO. No, 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 no. Hey, hey, hey. Not now.
Hang on a minute. I think, Chris, outside of the film, the only way these lyrics make sense is, like you said, it's a slow dance. This is clearly written from the perspective of a young boy mid-slow dance.
I'm telling you, it's built for a slow dance. Like, there's swells. There's places to do spins. You can spin yourself. That always plays. There's lip syncing that you can do, which kills.
Guitar.
Oh, my God. And, like, the air cello and air, I mean, yeah. No, it's perfect. It's a perfect
and
storm.
And just, like, lyrically, oh, my God, remember being 13 and tell me this wouldn't have been something you would have absolutely written in your journal. And I'd give up forever to touch you because I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be. And I don't want to go home right now. Okay, sweetie, yeah. I'm going to need your lunch money, unfortunately. Yeah.
I want to write that in Comic Sans.
I think curls... Please don't mock my laugh of my own podcast. I don't know what it is about this song, but I'm like, I'm involuntarily gently squeezing myself as it plays. I think it is bringing me back to the end of the year dance. I have those horrible, horrible cornrows that for some reason every white girl was like, this is the look.
Yeah. Had you gone on vacation and gotten them, or was it just
no,
like-
they weren't actually braided. They were like the twisted kind with the butterfly clips. And then they led to what can only be described as a bird of paradise on the back of your head.
Any kind of a lobster bib?
Sorry. What?
Oh, I didn't say anything. This is a lobster bib.
What was that?
What's that? No, I was just saying that that could be available for like a lobster bib.
Okay, so the problem with that bit is that you talk over the lyric I wanted to discuss every
I'm sorry. All I could taste is this. All I can breathe is your love. Okay. My guy's got synesthesia.
If we are now going with the premise that this is a middle school dance, which is obviously what SpongeBob's going to be, of course, yeah, it has
just,
to be.
He just chugged a Fruitopia on one knee, and now he has synesthesia, and he can taste moments.
Oh my God! I would have thought of one of those milky sobies. That like pale green one that looked like it would be like matcha, but it was like a flavor that can't be described. I think it's the inside of a kaleidoscope.
I think we were my middle school was part of a social experiment because we had these several Fruitopia vending machines, and they would and we would like we were chemically dependent on them, and we would like get them. We would be able to leave class like without anything if it was Fruitopia related, but the spouts were like essentially urethral. Like once you got it, like you could not get any Fruitopia. You have I think we were being monitored in some way and studied about, I don't know for what, but enough about
the moment. Absolutely tastes like Fruitopia, and I would, if I had to guess, those 3D Doritos.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh my God, I remember being like, I can't stop. That was the first time like usually like at lunch I would never be able to eat in public, but then
I was the same way. I only ate ketchup packets.
Okay. That, where would you do that? Like,
no,
from
you
a
finish
trash
your
can?
Thought. No, you finish your thought.
I'm still like that. I need to, like, if I'm going to really enjoy something, I need to be under a bridge hissing at passersby like a goose, okay? But, like, if I can, like, politely eat things at, like, a party, but.
I briefly had an out of body experience because you said passersby.
You ever have 4D Doritos? It includes time inside. You age. You Rip Van Winkle style. Sooner or later it's over. I just don't want to miss you tonight. And I don't want the world to see me. Because I don't think that they'd understand. I'm loving those drum fills, personally.
I'm loving that. It's virtually identical melodically to the verse, just an octave up.
Whoa. Look at you.
I mean, if we sang verse one an octave up.
Wait, there's a song that does that. Janet Jackson's Love Will Never Do Without You, where she just raises the verse two, like just goes up an octave, and it's so fucking satisfying.
I mean, if you have an octave range, it's a effective trick. But like, if you sang verse one in a higher octave, it would lose all impact for the chorus because it'd go, and I'd give up forever to touch you because I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't want to go home right now, and I don't want the world to see me
because
I don't think, like, it's just, it's all the same. I mean, it barely is different. Isn't that wild?
That's incredibly boring what you just did.
That's what I'm saying. So they just got away with it because all they did was jump up an octave and bring in the full band.
And he brought desperation into it. In his voice.
Oh,
maybe that has happened. Yeah.
And lyrically, what? I don't want the world to see me.
Oh, yeah, that's a nude man covering up his Priscilla with his hand, you know?
Or me in eighth grade.
Yeah, totally. You don't want the world to know you have hands at that age. Yeah.
Because I don't think that they'd understand.
No, and they won't. They definitely won't.
You know why? Because everything's made to be broken. Oh my God.
See, this is like an emo.
Journal after journal.
He's like an emo you can take home to your parents. He's like a presentable emo is what this. This is emo my dad can get behind. I admire it. I think it's great. Like, this guy's not screaming on top of a church trespassing, you know, like Fall Out Boy or whatever. This guy is, he's making emo accessible.
Yeah. And also, like, for that reason and that reason alone, if you made me choose, gun to my head, I had to choose between my two sons. I don't want to miss a thing. And Iris, I'm choosing Iris every time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
The fact that this didn't get an Oscar nom, much less win, or maybe it did, I didn't fact check this, assuming, for best original song is a fucking crime. And I don't know what the statute of limitations on is it, but I tend to sue.
But also, what you said earlier about how many of these songs have been written in 20 seconds is such an interesting thing about inspiration and, like, things that actually, like, just like fishing for the zeitgeist, like, they land in people's minds. Like, so it seems like
you can't overthink it.
Yeah,
it's just simple. It's like straight from the gut and onto the page. And, like, yeah, a lot of times they're very cliched for that reason. But I mean, cliches are popular for a reason.
And if it's inspired, you can't be like, you can't look down on it, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, you can. You can look down on anything if you had a big enough ladder.
Okay. All right. She's back. Everybody, she came back. She took a little rest, but she's back. Guns a-blazing, ankle piece out. She's ready to party. All right.
My own joke stressed me out so much, I need to take a break.
Okay.
And we're back. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your patience and your indulgence.
Thank you. Are you ready to move on to verse 2?
Yes.
Just kidding. We get a little instrumental first.
And you can't fight the tears that ain't coming. All the moment the truth in your lies.
You know what that instrumental said to me? It had a real... Who gave this lacrosse player the keys to the violin closet kind of a vibe?
I want to talk about the incredible departure lyrically from what we just heard to you can't fight the tears that ain't coming or the moment of truth in your lies. What?
That ain't coming.
We were at a middle school dance party and now we're like at you accusing your spouse of cheating on you. Like, what is this moment?
Yeah. And you're on a southern porch. You're in a lawn chair on a porch for some reason. They ain't coming. Yeah. You gotta be careful with ain't. I didn't even notice that until you said it. So I guess he pulled off the ain't.
Whenever
this is the best part.
Feels like the movies. Yeah, you bleed just to know you're alive.
I
Did you
love
not
that.
Hear that as a child and go, now that's art?
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying. It's fucking, it's emo. It's emo beginnings.
Oh, when everything feels like the movies.
And he just whips out a megaphone all out of his pocket.
So I was thinking, like, that moment is so powerful because it's the only time they have a harmony in the whole song. But then upon further reflection, that's not a harmony. That's the octave.
Oh,
again.
Oh.
Listen.
Yeah, you bleed just to know you're alive.
Wow. Wow, good ear.
He's really like...
You don't have time to figure out harmonies if you got lacrosse practice, you know? You just got to keep it in the octave.
He's jumping the gun of his big reveal here. Giving me that high octave too soon?
No, but it's like, you're ready for it. Because this is the second time. You're like, ooh, he's got there early this time. Ooh, this trip was 5 minutes shorter.
Premature modulation. Thank you so much. I think that... Actually, you know what, guys? Have a great night. We'll see you next week. And now the rest of the song is the same.
What?
That was the last of the new content in this song.
Could I really quick just say something to all the listeners out there?
Yeah.
You guys are the best. This is the best 4th of July ever. 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 Ever.
Hey. Do you mind if I say something now to the patrons? Anyone who subscribed to the Patreon?
Yeah, what?
All right.
You guys are the best! This is the best 4th of July ever! Ever! Ever!
He's getting struck by lightning in that.
That is a comedic actor desperately trying to prove they have what it takes to do drama.
I know. It's like so inauthentic or so. It's like, yeah, that is
you
so.
You guys are the best.
You guys are the best. This is the best 4th of July ever.
Ever.
Ever. Ever. It's like someone losing themselves a little bit that you don't want to see lose themselves a little bit. It's like really tough.
Give yourself some love.
But if there even was just one harmony in there, imagine. Listen, I'm just gonna try to wing it. Oh man, why am I putting pressure on myself? Whatever.
And I don't want the world to see me, cause I don't think they'd understand.
I mean, like, immediately, it's so much bigger.
Were you doing a minor? Was that a minor harmony?
I just went with the first one that came to me. I hadn't prepared that segment.
Were you doing the jazz scale? No, but like, I know what you mean. It would make it like...
It would just be so huge. Like, I mean, I like the way they produced it, but it does seem like such a choice to not have any background vocals with the exception of that one line. And even then, it's just an octave.
Do you think this guy has time for harmonies?
You guys are the best.
He even knows what a harmony is. Also, that line, I'm just thinking that time that you played it, that I don't want the world to see me because I don't think that they'd understand. This could also be an anthem for someone with a too complicated Halloween costume. About to go out. Realizing
have you ever done one of those where you don't realize until you've gone out that like it was too clever, no one's gonna get it, too obscure?
Well, no, what I do is three of us one year we just put these fur vests on, and I have a rule that I can't decide what I'm gonna be until the day of, and so I just found these white vests. We all wore these white vests and taped these like spatulas like a soul patch to us, and then we went to this party and everyone was like, who are you guys? And it was three of us, and I said we were Megan and Risky. And then like, and then people occasionally would be like, oh yeah, I think I remember. Oh yeah, like the CD-ROM, Megan and Risky. I remember Megan and Risky. But
you just made it up.
Yeah. It's not, Megan and Risky is not, doesn't exist. But
when did you realize, like, when did you, were you born an anarchist, or did at some point you were corrupted by it?
Corrupted by the anti-system, by no system?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good question.
The only answer is.
This is what did it.
If you can listen to this guitar solo and not sing, I would dare you to listen to Natalie Imbruglia's Torn and Try.
You know, the dun 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 dun, that part?
Yeah.
That, like,
if the orchestra is positively furious.
Because they're so sick of the Goo Goo Dolls bullshit and they want to go
home.
They
did too much cocaine.
That makes, if there were ever to be music that would convince me in traffic that I to not abide by the flow of traffic and just floor it, that would be it, you know?
You're in Ohio in seconds.
I don't even know. I don't even mean like weaving in and out. I mean like behind your car and just being like, you know,
just rear ending someone just as hard as you can.
Going the speed I want to go in the car. Like, you know what? No, I don't have to be held down by the traffic pattern.
And then he's like, when it ascends up into the guitar solo, you're just positively flying off the freeway, Harold and Maude style.
Or just like continually bumping into the same Acura. Yeah. Yeah, I got Maude riding shotgun, flashing passersby.
Oh, you can't keep going with the passersby. You're giving me a headache.
Good night, everybody. You guys are the best.
Okay, so we're finding out in this episode you cannot be trusted with the soundboard. We're moving on! This is the final chorus. Leave it all on the floor, boys. So if you wanted to ask Lindsay to dance with you, now is the time. You will not get another shot. Once you're in high school, everything's different now.
That's so true. It's all fucking grinding. It's a Caligula's grotto at high school dances, whereas middle school, that was like the perfect
It's tender.
Of
it's
repressed
sweet.
Sexuality. And sweet.
Imagine Iris playing at a high school dance. I can't. Simply can't.
No.
All I can hear is, from the window.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, exactly.
Get that punch, pound it down, stone sober, and ask Lindsay to dance. This is where you're absolutely shotgunning the punch. And then she's like making like shy eyes with you across the room, and you stare at your feet to look at your dad's loafers that positively are stuffed with socks to fit, but it's fine because you didn't think to buy shoes. And wait a second, is she coming over here? And I don't want the world to see me, because I don't think that they'd understand when everything's made to be broken. I just want you to know. Oh my god, Lindsay.
This is when you spill Fruitopia all over the soundboard.
And this is the part where you can't tell if you're supposed to be letting go yet or not. I think for me, it would be, here's where I let go.
But you know what I have come to really appreciate is the decoy ending, where you think, you know, you think that the hooligans have gone home.
After the guitar solo.
That's right. That's a jump scare for my dad if he's driving, you know, like that. You think they're gone and then they come ziplining back into the house, Reeboks first, you know. And now when I say Reeboks first, Miguel, do you know what I mean?
Smashing through a plate glass door?
Yeah. Be a zipline, kangaroo kick style. And I don't want the world to see through, you know, like the party's over. The guests have left.
They smash through the glass door and then they release from the zip line and tumble. They do a perfect tumble, spring to their feet because, of course, they're wearing their Reeboks. They're very buoyant. And like somehow they now have a guitar in their hands and they hit the downbeat just in time. Don't want to.
His body flies against your stove as on that downbeat. And then the sound of the guitar is him hitting the linoleum, and you're like Jesus Christ, man! Like you could have just like you were just here. I don't know why you had to zipline into my A-frame. Like we were just having a good time. And I
don't want the world to see me. You know, if that happened, that's what I would call. That he ends the set the same way after he smashes into your living room. And you're like, sir, it's November.
Okay, so party's over and you're going to bed. Uh-huh. All the cars are, you know, pulling out of the driveway. Uh-huh. You're like, oh, that was a good party. And then right as you're going into REM. Slamming
that
into your kitchen.
Best 4th of July ever. With all that said, let's hear what Robbie Baby Moose, musician
oh,
residence,
oh,
musical
it.
Analysis,
it.
Has
Damn
to
it.
Say about the song.
This song was one of the most heavily in rotation during the peak years of my MTV consumption, and I think I liked it fine until I simply heard it too many times. Before I listened this morning, I had a memory of a kind of pompous, rhythmic situation in the bridge, but I didn't realize that the whole song is framed in the feel of that section and alternates quite interestingly between 4-4 and 6-8. In case that's confusing, let me show you exactly what I mean. Give up forever to touch you. So when you hear something like this, you can just kind of count along as follows. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's maybe a little hard to tell because the drums are kind of only playing on those two big beats, 1 and 4 of those eighth notes, but there's a little subdivision in the guitar and, you know, you can kind of get a feel for where the beats are falling. Now let's listen to the very opening of the song. That's more like 1, 2, 3, 4. Or if you're counting eighth notes like in the other section, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and. The reason I bring this up is because when the verse of the song starts, you kind of feel like you're thrust forward all of a sudden, like you're sitting differently in your seat. And that's accomplished by the fact that they are switching this time signature. So here's how to feel that transition. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The eighth notes stay the same. There are a couple of really dorky musical moves in this song, and I've been delighted to discover them hiding within such a mainstream success. My favorite one is the way that the reintro after chorus one transitions into the second verse. It operates on that same principle of 4-4 into 6-8, but instead of the shift happening right on the verse, they do it really unexpectedly in the last bar of the reintro. So that rolling forward feeling kind of anticipates the vocal entrance. Check this out. Okay, so we're in 4-4 here. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1. Man, I gotta stop counting so much. It's like a really sad dance class up in here. Let me give you my roundup of other interesting aspects of this song. After the second chorus, there are almost three distinct bridges that all play different roles. We shift to 4-4 again, and the first part of the bridge really reminds me of Led Zeppelin. It's something about the rhythmic unison, the way the guitars, mandolin, bass, drums, and even all the strings are hitting those 16th notes together. It's so choreographed, but it's beautiful. I love the way the string arrangement is evolving here too, ever upward and finding interesting notes to add to the same old chords. I also love that this part of the section is 5 bars long. Very unusual. Then we have our 1990s Natalie Imbruglia slide guitar moment. It's a very patient section in a sense, 8 bars, but the tempo police over here noticed a gradual uptick throughout as we're climbing from around 76 beats per minute to 81, which is a not insignificant shift. The third part of the bridge is really more of a stand-in for an unwritten third verse. And amidst the chaos of the decaying slide guitar note, you may not have noticed that we're back in 6-8, but I sure as fuck did. This section is as long as a verse, and maybe our boy just didn't have anything more to say about giving up his immortality or whatever, so he let the string section and the mandolin noodles play proxy, making his raspy, belting chorus entrance even more impactful by comparison.
But I sure as fuck did!
I sure as fuck!
Rob! Okay, I'm sorry. Oh my god, that delighted me so much. I never in a million years would have thought to count that. It feels so natural. I'm blown away, A, that it's two separate time signatures, and then B, that it gets progressively faster during the bridge. I don't understand how this man even thinks to check that. What is his brain okay? And then if he likes the string arrangement, do you understand Rob Moose is like the king of string arrangements? And he likes the string arrangement?
Well, you didn't play the whole clip.
And he referenced Natalie and Brulia, which I also referenced. But right, there's another part to the clip. Okay, Chris, what?
You have to press play on your end.
Oh, right. Okay, and I'm pressing play.
When I suffered from a rare form of MTV consumption and VH1 influenza, listening to this has put me in a simpleton's alternative rock desert where there is nary a 16th note to quench my thirst. This pre-Y2K GeoCities shitfolk needs to be cast back to hell from whence it came, which I have the ability to do, but it takes a huge toll, both emotionally and sexually. I opened up a portal to music hell once while I was doing circular breathing exercises with Rufus Wainwright in my pool, which I cannot stress enough is a timpani filled with spit valve water. But let's get back to these pre-cum babies. The thought of these 90s hair models gaining access to an orchestra. See, here's where he turns on them. Getting their filthy paws on my silky drawers. The thought of them trying to vape out of the oboe is enough to make me cancel my lyrics.com membership once and for all. And let me be perfectly clear. I have no time for this condom on grunge. If I invite alt-rock into my home, I'm going to want to break my desktop and eat all my Tostitos scoops, not ask about my mom and sign my guest book. Fuck this. It makes me want to slash the tires on my car, which, let me make clear, are snare drums. If I were to invite alt-rock to a wedding, I want it blowing its nose on the bride's wedding dress, not telling the flower girl what to expect in second grade. You can tell when they asked for a cello via AOL message to the studio, they spelled it with a CH. And as someone who has suffered from cello's telepathy since childhood, a harrowing condition in which I am thrown directly head-on into the experience and headspace of any strings player, I won't go into the details of the hell that this man who played cello on this went through, but I will tell you I screamed no so loud that I blacked out and came to 48 hours later, sitting crisscross applesauce on a music stand, and I had signed up for several thousand things on Airbnb experiences. A dark sign of my mental state. And also financially worrisome because, as you know, every cent I make, I put towards the hit I plan on putting out on the chain smokers. When they are neutralized, only then can I rest. Unfortunately, I now have no more savings and will be forced to dance under my stripper name, Tamber.
Tamber? Simply Tamber? Spelled T-I-M-B-R-E?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That the most shocking part to me about the second half of Rob's essay is that he blew all his money on Airbnb experiences and not Skillshare classes. I really thought that's where that was going.
Well, he blacked out. I don't know.
The Punch Up the Jam is ruining Grammy award-winning musician Rob Mills.
What did he say? He yelled fuck it at one point, right?
Yeah, he said, I sure as fuck did. Oh, bless you, Rob Moose. Let's throw in the punch up. I feel like it's going to be a middle school dance anthem that's just maybe a little more on the nose, right? It has to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, let's lay it in here and see what we did.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now for world premiere.
Iris, but what if it was about a middle school dance?
Give up my sobie to touch you, cause you smell like Garnier fruit teas. I knew you were hot when you spelled a lot as a single word on AIM. And all I can taste is Axe body spray, and all I can breathe is Altoids. Even though I asked my dad for icebreakers, now I feel like I've got a mouthful of bees. And I don't want Mrs. Sullivan to see me, because she and my mom are best friends. Why did I have so many Altoids? The fentanyl of mints. Put your hands on my Sears dress shirt. Mine will go on your cami from Wet Seal. So Mr. K's the DJ
Isn't he a narc?
What?
Oh, sorry. I said Mr. K's a freaking narc.
He's actually my favorite teacher.
JK, he's also my favorite. Plus, narcs help the world go around. Hey, have you ever had a bone that's been broken? Same, but wooden crutches kind of rock.
Don't you think they'd rock? Crutches! Like, they'd be kind of cool, right? If you had a cast, you know, I could sign it. Or, if I had a cast, you could sign it. What are you looking at? Oh, Garrett, what's he doing?
Doing the worm. Garrett's over there doing the worm. You are watching. Do you like Garrett? I think you like Garrett. He's really good at doing the worm. Hey, Mansie, haven't you ever broken a bone? No, me neither. Wait, shit, I already said this. Lindsay, hey, I can also do the worm. Watch.
Lindsay.
Are you watching?
Hey, Craig.
Hey, Mr. K.
Hey, Craig, bud. I'm gonna need you to not do that, okay? Yeah, you just unplugged a lot of the DJ equipment. Hey, Craig, bud. I need you to stop doing what you're doing. Could you stand up here, bud?
I'm fine. No, I'm good. I feel good. I think I broke something doing the worm. A minor fibula fracture. Lindsay, I'll make it up to you in computer lab by sending you the hamster dance. I will send you the hamster dance. Lindsay, I'll send you the hamster dance. On Monday, I'll send you the hamster dance. Now I finally broke a bone. I'm kind of gonna walk it off. I'm not crying. I'm just sweating. I'm just sweaty from doing the worm.
That was, oh my God.
May I be the first to say, that was the best 4th of July ever!
I can't believe we put a Dutch section in there. Was that Dutch?
Let's go to Unpunchable Jams.
Okay.
You can't punch this.
Chris!
I have one.
Okay, go.
Okay, it's called Peaches by Milk and Bone, Alex Lustig.
You fucking dickhead! I just sent you that!
This is an incredible tune. The way that I would describe it is if lesbians were in charge of the Drive soundtrack.
It does feel like the Drive soundtrack. That's why I sent it to you, because I know that's exactly the type of music you like.
The Drive soundtrack?
You love a lesbian Drive soundtrack.
Yeah, right.
You want to hear mine?
Yes.
Oh, look, Marissa's gonna be mad at me again. It's a French title. Bow de Toi by Anemone. French pop song that sounds like it belongs in a movie from the 60s. That's kind of my aesthetic.
Absolutely. You know the man in the well in Ocarina of Time?
The man in the well? Do you mean the whole level in the well?
No, like the man who, like, he's like playing some like it's like...
He's not in the well, he's in the windmill.
Yeah,
he's playing
that's
the Song
it.
Of Storms.
Yes, that's what I was just seeing.
Yeah. I love the Song of Storms.
That's
the best. He's so frantic. That man's so upset all the time. That reminds you of that Anemone song?
Yes.
It's a great tune. It's fun. It's fun as hell. I love to dance in my apartment to that song. Check it out. Thank you very much for being on the podcast yet again. I'm having a lot of fun guest hosting. What? Am I guest hosting? Sure. Guest hosting with you.
Yeah, no, I thank you for being a guest.
Well, if you want to check out our Patreon, I do mixtapes once a month with a bonus episode going alongside it. You get early access to every song. And you know what? I might let you guys choose some songs on the Patreon as long as I have a guest host, because this is fun as hell for me. In fact, maybe next week I'll choose the song.
Oh, have you ever done that?
Not since like episode 10 or something. No.
Not since.
And I have a song. I have a certain song from a certain Disney movie that I've been dying to talk about. I sure would love to do that. Maybe next week that's what's going to happen. Maybe you'll have to check it out.
Oh my God.
Let's find out next week. Bye.
Peace.
Okay, that was
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.